We're in the book of Micah here on Wednesday evenings, and we're in chapter 6 of Micah, one of the 12, around an order of their prophecy, we would guess around the 4th of the 12. His testimony is against Jerusalem and Samaria, those cities. And he's dealing with the coming condemnation of the Lord. And in this chapter, he has this controversy with his people and his plead with his people, asking in verse number 3, "What have I done to thee? What have I done? Wherein have I wearied thee?" And so the Lord says, "Testify against me, tell it." It's very interesting that the Lord tells them, remember what Balak, king of Moab, consulted and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered. We looked at those four things there in Numbers chapter 22 and 23. And that seems, if we're understanding it correctly, that seems to drive Brother Micah to implead the people too. And because he remembers that, he remembers the account, goes and reads it. It's read, however it is that it's done, and he makes this increasing in degrees appeal to the people. Shall I come to the Lord with burnt offerings when I bow to Him? Calves of a year old. Thousands of rams, how about that? Or with 10,000 rivers of oil, you know, it just keeps on increasing and increasing. Shall I give my firstborn, my child, shall I give my child for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And he declares, the Lord has showed us. He showed you, hadn't He shown you and me what is good and what the Lord does require of us? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with Him. You know, God is to be worshiped. He's to be reverenced. But can I say that it's so that the Lord is not just pleased with that? He's looking for relationship. That's how to be near to God, and we need that through the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to that, or brought to that, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to be worshiped, and He is to be praised, but He wants us to humbly walk with Him. And that is, I mean, we talked about that last time, and talked about the aspects of that, not running before, not lagging behind, not communicating, but listening, intent, walking beside with Him in the lead, and fellowship along the way. That's what the Lord has called us. That's what the Lord requires of us. And understand that in no way, there's no way is it implied or brought forth that we are saved by our works, because we are not. That's been proven. To do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God, there could be an argument in that. Where's the law? Well, to do justly, we've got to know what justice is. But to be obedient and to be near, to be looking to Him, the Lord has to give the law so we know what's right or wrong. And I just pose that being near to Him, being in fellowship with Him, and we do get our instruction from His Word, but if we're near to the heart of God and He's near to us and we're fellowshipping with Him, we will know being close to Him, walking humbly with Him. And so that's what Micah declares, his answer that he declares. And so in verses 9 through the balance of the chapter, we see here the judgment of the Lord upon those that reject what is good and what the Lord requires. Because that's the other side of it. If you say, "Well, I don't want what is good," I don't want what the Lord requires of me. I don't want to do justly, and I don't want to love mercy, nor do I want to walk humbly with God. Well, here's the end of that. Here's what the Lord will do. And so this is what Micah declares regarding that. In verse number 9 of Micah 6, the Lord's voice crieth unto the city. And again, this prophecy is written to Jerusalem and Samaria, okay, the capital cities of the divided kingdom. And the man of wisdom shall see thy name. So one that is wise, will see the name of the Lord in these things. And then it's this clarity statement, hear ye the rod. Hear ye the rod. Hear what the chastiser is going to say and what he's going to do. And hear who hath appointed it. Hear ye the rod and who hath appointed it. God said it. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. There is no device. There's no design against the Lord and what he will do. That hear it. The Lord's voice is crying these things. He asks these questions. Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? The treasure that they've gathered up, is that going to be there for a defense, for a help, for a deliverance? Is that treasure, or is that treasure diminishing? You know, we read in the scriptures and the minor prophets, and it fails me to recall where it's at, but taking and putting money in bags with holes in it. And I think there's other references there about containers and putting stuff in there and just won't hold it. Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked? The scant measure that is abominable, the little bit that they have, it's abomination to the Lord because of the way they've gained it, or to whom they've dedicated it, or where they have dealt with these nations there in Canaan and beyond, and the wickedness of them, and the Lord said you needed to be separate from them. Shall I count them pure? Verse number 11. Shall I count that treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked that's left, that scant measure that's abominable, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances? Here he begins to get in to how they trade and how they have worked. And the Lord has made specific command about having an honest weight and having an honest balance. Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? You know, if you're trading and you're buying, you want to weigh what you're getting. The weight says 10, but it's actually 15, so you get more. But then when you're selling, you get your weight out that says 10 on it, but is really 7.5, so you sell less. And the Lord said, do not do that. I remember a brother that we all know. Well, I'll tell you, it's Brother Dempsey Henderson. And he pastored over here at Julian and was a missionary down to Brazil and was in Western Kentucky. I believe grew up in Western Kentucky. I think that's right. And before the Lord saved him, he worked in a meat shop. And what he would do, and the fellow that he worked for, and he told this on himself, before the Lord saved him, he would put that meat on the scale and put his thumb on the scale. Weigh a little bit more. He said after the Lord saved him, he told his boss, I'm not doing that anymore. The Lord saved him from that. Because that's not honest and that's not just. It's not right. And he said, the Lord touched me, saved me, changed my life. I'm not putting I'm on the scale anymore. Shall I count them pure? That which is, you know, so that they, the wicked have gathered the things that they have, but Is there a blessing with it? No, not from the Lord. They've got it, they think. But no, not anything gained with deceitful weights. In Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7, Amos 8, 4 through 7, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy. Because see, when someone is using a wicked balance or you're using a bag of deceitful weights, who is it that they're taken from? Their fellow man. In the case of Israel, their brethren. O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land fail. They're already poor, you just drive them down further, saying, when will the new moon be gone? Because there's a slowdown, there's the halt that's made there because of the worship of the Lord and what the Lord had ordained, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, when we may set forth wheat. Just cannot wait to get past the worship of the Lord and the time that the Lord's ordained so they can get back to their wicked trading. Making the ephah small and the shekel great. There's that dishonest weight and money. And falsifying the balances by deceit. Putting that thumb on there, having the bag of deceitful weights. That we may buy the poor for silver. You know, that control of people and taking advantage of people is a thing that's greatly, greatly despised by the Lord. He abhors people manipulation. He abhors that. That we may buy the poor for silver, they say, and the needy for a pair of shoes. Remember when we studied about that? Buying somebody that's just bad down and out for a pair of shoes, to own them, to abuse them, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. They take the chaff. Things are so hard on people that they take the chaff and sell it. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. That's what the Lord does, is he doesn't forget our sins. He doesn't forget their sins. You and I may think that we can do and we can sneak and we can connive and we can whatever, all the list of things that we can do, thinking that nobody knows. I tell you what, the Lord knows. The Lord knows perfectly. He knows. And then if we don't repent of what we've done or what we do, then we've got the Lord against us. I tell you what, it's no way to live having the Lord against us. So if you've got things that maybe you think you've sneaked around and got done that nobody knows about, tell you what, better get it right with the Lord. Better get it right with the Lord and take it, repent of it, and forsake it. Back to Micah 6, verse number 12. For because the rich men thereof are full of violence. He said, shall I count them pure? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? Verse 11. Because the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. And what is it that Jesus said? He says the tongue gives away the heart. And that's what comes forth out of their heart. They are wealthy, but it's not blessed by the Lord because they're violent men and they take advantage of those who they can take advantage of. They've spoken lies. Their tongue is deceitful in their mouth, lies, misleading. And the Lord says, I'm going to judge it. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee. So the Lord makes it very clear, he's the one that's doing it. He's the one that's chastising them as a nation in making thee desolate because of thy sins. We got sin in our life. We need to repent of it. sinners in need of salvation. That's what they're called to do, is repent before the Lord. We're guilty. We've got a mound and a load of sin that we don't even understand or comprehend the extent of it. We need to repent of it before God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And then the child of God that is saved needs to be a confessor of their sins before the Lord. Because of their sins, the Lord is against them. Listen to what he says will be the result they continuing to pursue. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. And thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee. I find that phrase interesting. Thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee. That's most apropos for our nation. We're being thrown down internally. And there is an element of the world that is not necessarily our friend that looks on at the United States and says, indeed, they are destroying themselves from within. Thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and the Lord's touch upon them will be seen by them. Thou shalt take hold, but not deliver. Thou shalt, but shall not deliver. And that which thou deliverest, if you're able to deliver any, will I give up to the sword. There'll be no escape. There'll be no escape. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives for the sake of the getting the oil. Okay? But thou shalt not anoint thee with oil. You won't be anointed. You hear this? Have you heard this before in this prophecy, in this book? You'll look to do, but you won't. You'll look to do this, but you won't. Remember that? And sweet wine, but shall not drink wine. You'll tread the grapes, you'll bring them in, but you will not drink of it. I look to show you this last time, and maybe I can pull it off this time. We'll see here. Just want this reminder. For this next verse. Okay. Hey, we made it. Verse number 16, he's told about what they are, how they do, what's in their hearts. And he says, this is the reason for all of this. For the statutes of Omri are kept. And you see Omri right here? See, Solomon was here, and he did wickedness, and so the kingdom was divided between his son and Jeroboam. And then that went on down here, and this man Zimri came to power. And notice how this, again, this dashed line, remember that means that they're not related. Over here in Judah, there's a lot of them related, many of them related until the end. But these are not related. One usurper after another, or one person of power after another. There's no long-term family confederacy. Okay? Now, Omri and Ahab are related. The Lord says, for the statutes of Omri are kept. Whose statutes should be kept? The Lord's. But instead, they're keeping Omri's. And all the works of Ahab, of the house of Ahab, and whose works should be followed? The Lord's. His works, his attributes should be followed. But whose works are they following? Ahab's, house of Ahab. And you walk in their counsels. You follow their advice, their way. And you do so that I should make thee a desolation. I'm going to wipe you out. The land that flows with milk and honey will not be occupied by you, and it will not flow with milk and honey anymore. And the inhabitants thereof are an hissing. What a terrible thing if there would be a procession, and when a people would be walking down a road or whatever, and they get to another group of people there that are beside the road or that live there, and they hiss at them. You know, just disrespectful. And we've seen in time past about how the enemies of Israel and the divided kingdoms, how they laughed at the falling of those kingdoms. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. We read over there in 1 Kings and time past, we read over there in 1 Kings 16 about how folks followed Omri, and he had this conflict and warfare with Tibni, but he prevailed and Omri reigned. And he bought the hill of Samaria, and that's where he built his house and ordered for the capital of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, to be. And that's where that came about. It wasn't a city that the Lord had given him, but it was one of his own device. And where Baal was hailed as the god of the earth. And then how Ahab followed in that. In regards to this, the inhabitants thereof and hissing, again, and the language that we've heard here, thou shalt eat but not be satisfied, your casting down will be in the midst of thee, you'll take hold but not deliver, what you deliver I'll give up to the sword, you'll sow but you'll not reap, you'll tread but you won't anoint with oil, you will tread the grapes and make sweet wine but you won't drink of it. It's very much what we see in the first chapter. It's very much according to that. The desolation, the hissing, and the reproach, all of these will come to pass, just like the brother declared in chapter 1. Let's read this again in Micah 1, verses 8 through 16. Micah says, therefore I will wail and howl and go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls. He's weeping and crying and bemoaning the demise of the kingdoms. For her wound is incurable. And that wound, it's come up unto Judah, the kingdom of Judah. The Lord, he has come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem, the capital city. Declare ye it not in Gath, over there in that land of the Philistines. Don't say anything about it over there. Weep not at all. Don't mourn about it over there in front of those people. In the house of Ephrah, the house of dust, roll thyself in the dust. Pass ye away, thou inhabitant of Sepher, which means pleasant. And look at the contrast. Having thy shame naked. That's how the brother started off with. He says something that means one thing, but he says the result's going to be the opposite. That's the expectation of the leaders and the people of the divided kingdoms, is that in pursuing their wickedness and their evil, that they'll gain and they'll gain and they'll gain and they'll get away with it and they'll have a good result. But what the Lord says is, you'll be in the city that means pleasant, and there'll be nothing pleasant there at all. That's having thy shame naked. The inhabitant of Zanan, which means come out, came not forth. These contrasts are given by the Lord through the prophet, and came not forth in the morning. That crying and such of Bethazel, which is the house of firmness, but they weren't firm. They were mourning because of what the Lord's judgment has done to them. He shall receive of you his standing, the one that would come in, meaning he'll take their domiciles, he'll take their buildings. The king of Assyria came in and took captive out of Israel, took them to a far land, and then brought in a bunch of foreigners. And that's how the Samaritans came about. Verse 12, for the inhabitant of Maroth, which means bitter, while longing for sweetness, waited carefully for good, but evil came. Evil came down from the Lord all the way to the gate of Jerusalem. Evil. But what's Jerusalem? Jerusalem's the city of peace, but destruction's going to come. O thou inhabitant of Lachish, which Lachish means a team of chariot horses, bind the chariot to the swift beast, inhabitant of Lachish, which that name Lachish means a team of chariot horses, bind those chariots to the swift beast. But it won't stand. She is the beginning of the sin of the daughter of Zion, which Zion means fortress, but won't be able to stand. For the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. And that's what the Lord told through Brother Micah in verse 5 of chapter 1. For the transgression of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Micah 1:14. Therefore thou shalt give presents to Moresheth Gath, a possession of Gath, similar to the word betrothed. It kind of sounds like it, but it's not the word, but it sounds like it. And so here it says, thou shalt give presents, and it's some believe that it's talking about that reference to that is being losing a town in marriage from these invaders, but then being forced to pay a dowry to boot. It's just they're going to have to give everything away because of those that will occupy them. The houses of Achzib, which mean deception, lying to the authorities. The houses of Achzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. They'll think it'll be a great thing, a good thing. It'll be nothing but a lie. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitant of Mersha. And sounds like the word conqueror, and we're thankful for that glimmer, that promise of a deliverer. He shall come to Adullam. And remember, Adullam is where Brother David hid out. David was in a bad, bad way when he was at Adullam. The glory of Israel. But in the meantime, before that deliverer comes, make thee bald and cut off your hair, poll thee for thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness, the shaving, the cutting off of the hair, the shaving of the head. As an eagle, for they, the delicate children, are gone into captivity from thee. And so this, they think that what the deceitful wealth that they've gained, the deceitful advantage that they've gained, that they'll just be able to go right on and that'll all be well. But the Lord says, you'll think good, but evil's going to come. You'll think to sow, but you're not going to reap. You'll think to make wine, but you're not going to drink. You'll think you're in a pleasant place, but the shame of your nakedness is what will be shown. And so he gives that contrast. Sinners without the Lord Jesus Christ think they've got it together and think that they can live life unto the end and it will be different with them. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, what shall a man give if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give for his own soul? You know, one can live and think that they don't need the Lord. They don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got it figured out and things can be pleasant and well. But at the last breath, at the last heartbeat, at the last brainwave, you don't have the Lord Jesus as Savior, nothing of what you thought was the greatest thing on the earth is going to matter. And not having Jesus Christ as Savior is going to be the thing that matters, but it will be too late. So repent and believe and trust in the Lord, because the Lord will make good on His promise to judgment. He will do that. He'll make good on His promise to judgment. And for we that are saved, Lord, help us when we do sin against our Lord, and He shows us the error of our way. We hear from Him in His Word and our fellowship with Him. The Spirit of God that lives within us convicts us and shows us our sin. We need to repent of it, because there's no success in it. There's no success. These things are written. These things are written down so that you and I might know that that's the truth. May the Lord help us with it.